You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In the absence of government action in creating strict policies addressing the coronavirus pandemic, states, counties, cities, and now individuals are taking the matter into their own hands. Ann Helen Peterson is a senior culture writer at BuzzFeed News, based in Montana, and she has been covering the culture of the coronavirus, specifically how we as Americans got to this point and why so many of us are having a hard time convincing loved ones to care about this pandemic. Her recent articles, well, they've struck a chord with folks across the country, and Ann Helen is joining us on Skype from Missoula to talk about what she's learned reporting on this in the U.S. Welcome to the program.
Hi, so happy to be here.
So one of your most recent pieces in your newsletter is called I Don't Know How to Make You Care. And one thing you talk about in this piece is how the culture of coronavirus awareness and action here in the United States seems to be differing from some other countries globally. What prompted you to write about this specifically?
Well, you know, I grew up in Idaho and I live in Montana. And so a lot of the kind of ideas about rugged individualism, they've stayed with me. And I, you know, there's things that many people I know believe in, which is that, you know, you take care of yourself and you take care of yourself and those that are in your vicinity, you know, your loved ones. And it's less of a community or social minded thinking. And, you know, I don't think that that like is necessarily bad or good. It's just kind of how America is. And it's a real problem, though, when we're dealing with things like a pandemic, where you have to think not just about how I feel or how this will affect me personally, but how things that are happening in the community at large that might have not have any direct ramifications on your daily life actually matter so much.
You know, that it's so interesting because we talked about this even among ourselves. I mean, I grew up in Washington. I've spent the majority of my adult life in Idaho, and there is really a Western culture and a Western attitude about pulling ourselves up from our bootstraps, right? And that is a good thing. But at the same time, we have to, in these moments, as you mentioned, start thinking about this more as a whole. And how do you think people are responding, not necessarily all over the world, but particularly in Western states? Is there have you seen a difference, I guess, between the West and the East?
Well, the polling I've seen really shows that the response and the seriousness with which a lot of people are taking this is falling a little bit along partisan lines, which is unfortunate because like the disease does not discriminate based on your ideological leanings.
Right.
But I do think, you know, in Idaho and Montana, like there is a reticence to listen to things that the government tells you to do. Right.
Right.
Or maybe that anyone tells you what to do unless you personally trust them. And I think one of the problems, especially given how long it took to get any confirmed cases in both of our states, was that it gave a lot of people license to think, well, it's not here, so why do I need to act in any way differently? And that began to change, I think, starting on Friday and then Saturday here in Montana. And we've at least seen the closure of a lot of restaurants. You know, Butte, Montana is per capita the most Irish city in America. Like they love St. Patrick's Day, and they made the preemptive choice before it was mandated on the state level. You know, they canceled their parade and bars are closed today. So I think, you know, part of it is that Butte is a tight-knit community, and it also has a lot of elderly people, and they understand like what we do now really will have ramifications on this heart of our community. And so one thing I'm trying to encourage people to think about is, what have you thought of your community, even if it's Boise, right? Or even if it's just all of like the Magic Valley, how can you think of it as if it were a small, tight-knit community where you know everyone?
Well, and you bring up such a good point, though, because, I do think there is something about places like Boise, the Magic Valley, places in Montana, where even as they get bigger, there's still a kind of hometown mentality, right? We're not small towns anymore, but there is that hometown mentality that hasn't necessarily gone away, because even here, you know, things were being canceled early, right? Not everything, but then private business, you know, and city governments, they were making those preemptive moves. So is that, do you think, you know, cultural, not necessarily from, you know, a Western perspective, but it is more of that kind of when everybody lived in small towns, and as you said, everybody knew their neighbors.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think that, you know, I was talking with a friend who lives out like super rural out in eastern Montana, and they just know that if the virus comes to town, like it is going to hit everyone, because like their county courthouse is connected to their hospital, is connected to their retirement home, right? So you get one case in there and it's just going to spread. Right. And so they're thinking right now, how can we act that way? Now, can people in Boise think the same? I don't know. One thing I do hope is that that attitude is extending to how people are thinking about supporting local businesses, right? So they're like, how can we help these businesses that are the heart of our community? How can we help out people who are going to be struggling until there is some form of government intervention? So, I mean, that's one thing I'm thinking about.
Why do you think it's so hard for our culture to take collective action?
That's a hard one. You know, I think that we like to be rewarded for things, for actions that we take, or to see direct ramifications, direct responses. So the hard thing about, say, self-isolating is that you're never going to know exactly how many people's lives you saved, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's never going to be a tally. And it's also not going to be clear for a long time. So right now you're making preemptive action that has no tangible results. That's really...
Yeah, right. There's another article you wrote that I want to get to quickly, and this is how millennials are talking to their boomer relatives about the coronavirus. Because you share stories from younger people across the country who are really having a hard time getting their relatives to be proactive about this and to manage their risk.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that there's a lot of millennials who aren't taking this seriously as well.
That is true.
But I was seeing a knowledge gap or a frustration amongst millennials about how to talk to their older relatives, their parents and their grandparents. And part of this is that I think boomers in particular, most of them don't think of themselves as old, right? They don't think of themselves as that population that, according to the CDC, is at a much higher risk for serious complications. So like your 65-year-old mom who, you know, goes power walking every day and has a really, vital volunteering schedule, that is a person who does not think of themselves as at risk, mm-hmm. and maybe feels really resistant to thinking of themselves that way in any capacity. So there's some hard conversations that you have to be like, I know you're not old, mom. I just want you to be safe.
Right. And it's kind of changing that conversation. Right. And so my question then is, I mean, you've talked to quite a few sources. What do you think it will take to convince folks, not just boomers, but I think you're right, even some millennials are not taking this seriously, that they need to make some behavioral changes for a while?
You know, one thing I said in the article is some of this is a political divide. There are some people who still think this is a big overreaction or that it's a hoax or politically minded, that sort of thing. I think that you have to figure out, instead of fighting them on that point, you have to figure out what is the thing that will work. You know, that who is someone that they do listen to? So Joe Rogan is a great example of someone who millions of Americans listen to and trust. And last week he had an epidemiologist on, and that interview has spoken to and changed a lot of people's minds. Now, he's maybe not someone who you listen to or that, you know, that you personally trust, but find out, think about, okay, who does this person listen to every day? Is that like their local TV person? Or is it like, I have a friend who's Italian American, and the thing that really changed his parents' minds was sending the parents, the Italian American parents, this video of the change in how many funeral announcements there were in the Italian papers over the last month. Mm. So again, you have to think about what is the thing that actually works on them. Another person said to me, you know, the thing my mom cares about the most is my levels of anxiety and how scared I am. She wants to protect me more than anything. So she said to her mom, "Mom, I'm scared. I'm worried. The only thing you can do to help me is stay inside."
There you go, right? Yeah, that's a really good point. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this. It's a fascinating conversation. We've been talking with Ann Helen Peterson. She is a culture writer for BuzzFeed News about her reporting on American culture in the time of coronavirus. And she's been joining us from Skype from Missoula today. Really nice conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And we are keeping you updated on this issue on our website. Go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org for our updated blog on the coronavirus. And a note, tomorrow we will bring you a special presentation from Minnesota Public Radio and COVID-19 in place of Idaho Matters. You can actually participate in that live call in the show with national experts. Just tune in tomorrow at noon for that. And we want to just take a minute to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters. I do hope that we were able to answer many of your questions today. Apologize for not getting to all the questions that came in during the show. We will have our medical experts back so that we can get all of those questions and concerns that you have answered. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our production assistant is Molly Wampler, and our intern is Chloe Ball. It is Tuesday. Have a great rest of your day, and we will have that Minnesota Public Radio show for you tomorrow, and we will see you back here on Thursday.